It is time now to talk about the international economy and financial markets, and we're joined on the business line by Imran Anwar. He is president of Imran Anwar Incorporated. He is the founder of the Internet in Pakistan. He is also a technology consultant and media expert, and we have an opportunity to speak with Imran on occasion. As I said, joining us now on the business line. Good morning, Imran.
And good morning to you.
Let me ask you, sir, the spotlight, as we have discussed many times, moves rather quickly as far as world interest and concern is concerned. And we haven't talked about India and Pakistan in a while. They had a G7 meeting over the weekend. Were they talking about it at all, as far as anyone can tell, or is that so far out of the spotlight at this point that even the G7 has shrugged it off?
Well, basically, George, India and Pakistan have always been a hot spot on this planet, but since they acquired nuclear weapons capability, that problem is not a regional conflict anymore, but something that has global implications for the whole world. Now, generally, there have always been discussions that have taken place between these countries, and generally they agree, disagree, and then move on and get together again later. Right now, there has been some movement forward in that there are talks scheduled to be held in about 2 weeks' time in Islamabad between the two countries. The little negative event that has happened over the past few days has been the expulsion, a mutual expulsion of diplomats by both countries. Now, that is usually a tit-for-tat kind of thing that happens on a frequent basis, so one should not read too much into it, but that is still an indication of how tensions, even when the prime ministers of the two countries agree to discuss the problem, that tensions and mutual distrust and just this need to needle each other has not gone away and will not go away anytime soon.
What is the basis for most of the discontent between India and Pakistan? To the average American, of course, as I'm sure you're aware, Imran, mistakenly, but nonetheless, to the average American, the culture seems so close, the people seem so close ethnically and otherwise, that sometimes it's you wonder why they're so much at odds. What is the basis for most of the aggravation between the two countries?
Well, basically, George, the lessons lie in history, and that basically goes back to the time when the British were leaving what was then undivided India, a nation of about now of about 1 billion people, where about let's say 800 million are Hindu and about 200 million are Muslim. The Muslim rulers under the Mughal Empire had ruled over this whole nation, and when the British were leaving, the Muslim minority felt that the Hindu majority might not treat them well, so they wanted a homeland of their own, and that led to the creation of the Muslim majority areas, which were East and West Pakistan. East Pakistan eventually turned into Bangladesh through an internal strife and internal civil war in Pakistan. Now, that made Pakistan half the size that it was, and obviously India played a role in that breakup of Pakistan, and so the hatred and the anger goes back not just to 50 years, but more recently, as far as back as 1971 when this happened.
So there was obviously they have a history of discontent and basically religious conflict between Muslims and Hindus in India. It's been quite violent, and it continues to this day, even inside of India. Now, though, we have two separate countries, and one could say, all right, why they should be able to make their peace, but they have problems over regional dispute now, right, up in Kashmir.
Absolutely, George. That is where the religious conflict obviously should have gone away with the fact that you live there, I live here, so we have, you know, our separate homelands. Let's pray and live in our own ways without interfering with each other. The problem occurred when one particular state, the state of Jammu and Kashmir, up in the north of both countries, which was almost a 90%, 97% Muslim majority area, was not allowed to join Pakistan by one person who was the ruler of that state, the governor of that state, let's say, who decided that he wanted to work merge with India. So that set the seed for what has been one of the longest simmering regional conflict, which has the potential to become a global conflict. And the people of Kashmir have asked for nothing more than the right to self-determination. India, of course, sees it as more than that. India sees it as a definite attempt by Pakistan to take over Indian territory. They feel they have that Pakistan has no claim to that territory. Pakistan says, let's have the Kashmiri people decide their own fate. The problem India probably has with that, George, is that if they allow this to happen, if they allow one state to have their right of self-determination and break away, this will actually send the signal to other states within the Indian Union to say, you know, we might have the same religion, but we talk a different language and we have a different culture. We don't really want to be part of India. We want to be our own little state.
Well, of course, an American would have to look at it and say, well, suppose the southwestern United States wants to, because it has starts to get an ethnic majority of Mexicans, wants to return to Mexico, or in Canada, Quebec, because it's French, wants to separate. Their countries get together, they have rules and laws, and it does become complicated as to whether or not there should be should be tolerated any separatist movement. I mean, we fought a civil war over that in this country. So there is some understanding of that, but at the same time, the history of those parts of the world indicate that maybe they're fighting a losing battle.
Absolutely, George, and that's a good example. For example, if Louisiana or Texas decide to break away from the United States, I'm sure it wouldn't be very well accepted here. However, a more apt example perhaps would be if the United States had decided to make not Puerto Rico or some other country mm-hmm. like that a state of its own, because the Governor General of that country decided that he wanted to be an American state, and the rest of the nation, possibly from a different religion or a different culture, hated the United States. And that's where the problem starts. And I can understand the Indian worry about this would be the start of a toppling effect, and it would break the whole country into many pieces. And I can understand their frustration and their that it's fraught with peril for them. But at the same time, if there is a nation of people, 97% or 95% of a particular religion, who wish to be independent or merging with another country where they belonged in the first place, perhaps United Nations resolutions should be followed. And all the United Nations resolutions for the past 50 years have said is, let the people decide for themselves. And if this does not get done, this regional conflict can always escalate into a global conflict, because India has good relations with the Russians. Pakistan, even though it's not on the best of terms with America right now, has traditionally been a U.S. ally, and everything from the U-2 flights of Gary Powers to fighting the Russians in Afghanistan, etc., and helping the Americans reach some level of understanding with the Chinese in the Nixon regime. The risks are great, and whatever happens in that region does spill over into other countries, because India borders upon Bangladesh and Burma, which in itself is not a very stable part of the world. Pakistan borders on Afghanistan, Iran, which have their own problems, and Iran borders on Iraq. So you're really looking at one big problem area if this is not contained, and if the United States does not play a leadership role to solve this problem.
We are all out of time, Imran. Thank you, sir. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely, George. Thank you.
Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York.